Genesis chapter 28, starting from verse 1.
And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham.
Last chapter, if you remember, Jacob got the blessings because of his mother. Mother told him, go and get the blessings. And he said, my dad will curse me. She said, curse will come upon me. Go and get the blessing. Now, he obeyed the mother, got the blessings, and then mother heard last week, if you remember, mother heard that Esau said, as soon as my father dies, I'm going to kill you. She heard that. She said, son, you run away from your brother and go to my father's house and be there safe for a while, maybe a few days. She had no plan. She was not telling him to go and get married with my brother's daughters or something like that. She just wanted him to be safe. So she said, go. But we do not see Jacob running away right away, because Jacob also was not a baby. He was 40 years old. Esau is 40 years old. They were twins. So he was not that much scared, because when you are a farmer, even though his brother is a hunter, and when you are a farmer taking care of your cows and sheep and goats, you are also strong in bodybuilding. I don't think he was that scared, otherwise he would have ran right that same minute. He didn't run away. One thing you have to know, when God has already blessed you, then you don't have to worry about enemies. We don't have to worry about problems. So when he got blessed, he knew, God is going to bless me. How can my brother kill me? But his mother had some fear, but he didn't run away. Isaac calls his son Jacob. Up to now, he called Esau and told him to go and bring food for me and make some deer meat and I'll bless you. But everything failed. At that time, last chapter, Rebekah talks to her husband Isaac, and she starts saying, you know what? I am so depressed because of Esau's behavior. And she might have told him everything. What happened? Why I did what I did? And she convinced her husband, even though Jacob took a blessing, that was not only Jacob's idea. God already told me long time ago when I was pregnant, but I didn't share with you. But today I'm sharing with you, because you might be thinking, my son deceived me, and so you might be angry at Jacob. But let me tell you, this was my plan, and I told him, and he obeyed me. Your son Esau, or our son Esau, already sold the birthright to Jacob, so legally he's supposed to be blessed. So I think she explained to him very well. Otherwise, we will be reading in the Word of God that Isaac was mad with his wife, and they would have a problem, because Bible explains everything. Problems, some blessings, or some anything goes wrong or right, Bible doesn't hide anything. But we believe that Isaac was convinced that Jacob is innocent. Jacob got the blessing, and now his son Esau wants to kill him. Isaac had that much power to call his son Esau and say, Esau, I'm warning you, don't kill your brother. He would have done that. But he knew that Esau is very mad, and even though he said, I'm going to bless, and we just learned Hebrews chapter 11 verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Esau and Jacob. Actually, in a book of Hebrews says he asked the blessings, but he didn't have any blessing. How God is going to bless your brother, and how you're going to be living your life with a sword. And when you establish, then you can take your yoke away from him, and then you'll be free man. So both people, they knew, now they are enemy to each other. So father is saying, Jacob, come here, I'm going to bless you. He's trying to say, last time I bless you indirectly, because I was thinking that I'm going to bless my older son, Esau. But really, God wants you to be blessed. So come here, I'm going to bless you. So now he calls him, and he blesses him, and he gives the blessing of Abraham. He's saying, we are stranger here, but God is going to give you this land. But I'm going to send you to your mother's father and her brother, get a wife from Laban's. The word of God says he listens. He listens to mother and the father. And here he gives the blessings of Abraham. Let's read Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3.
And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
He says, I'm going to bless you, and if somebody curses you, they will be cursed. And so he gave the blessings of Abraham to Jacob. He is telling him, your grandfather is blessed by God, but grandfather was blessed, and God told him that I'm going to give you this land. Same promise was given to Isaac. Isaac didn't get the land because Isaac was also stranger. Jacob also was stranger. So Abraham didn't get it. Isaac didn't get it. Jacob didn't get it yet. Isaac is saying to his son Jacob, God's blessing was in Abraham. That blessing is going to come to you. You're going to multiply. You're going to be blessed. And so he gives the blessings, and he tells him to go to your mother's brother's house. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 28, verse 5.
And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother.
Now here, word of God says, Isaac sent away Jacob. His mother already told him to go, but he did not run away. Now here the father gives him like a command, you go. So now he's saying, I'm going to obey my dad. Because what happens, Jacob might have his flock because he's taking care of, so he has a property and everything. Now he has to give up everything and go. So as soon as the Isaac told him, go, and he's not going to just say, please go, he give him command. You go and go to Rebekah's brother's house. And here he's saying, the mother of Jacob and Esau. You have to have a same mother and same father and same brother and same sister. Otherwise, in one family, they might have different wives and different children coming from the different parents. So here he's saying, Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. I thought this is interesting, because most of the time when you say Rebekah's children, they would know she has only two children. But here is saying, this Rebekah, who is the mother of Jacob and Esau, their mother's father's house or their mother's brother's house, he was sending. So there was no mistake. You cannot run away. I tell you to go to certain place and you have to obey me. So let's read verse 6.
When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him away from thence, and that as he blessed him he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan.
Now here the Esau, the word of God say, Esau saw that Isaac has blessed Jacob. Now, last time, when the Isaac was talking to Esau and say, go and bring the food for me or bring the deer meat for me, mother heard it. And that's why mother told Jacob to go and get the goat kids and I'm going to make a food. Here, Isaac blessed the Jacob. That time he did not invite Isaac to attend his blessing ceremony. Esau was watching every move what Jacob is doing. So when Jacob was called, I don't know, his mother was called also, blessed in front of mother. So here, just like a ceremony is happening, Isaac is blessing his son Jacob. And Esau said he saw what's going on. Now this time when he saw purposely, my father is blessing my younger brother. He's not supposed to bless the younger brother. When he blessed already, and I asked and I cried and cried, and he did not bless me, and he already told me that I'll be his slave and I had to live by sword and all of these things, that was not a real blessing to me. So now he is not coming and fighting with his father, but he's watching to kill his brother. But here he sees God allows his father to bless his younger brother. So he starts thinking, up to now I thought my mother is mad at me because I married the heathen girls. Now my father is mad at me because my father didn't like I married the girl, and my mother didn't like I married those girls. And so now they are a little bit upset, and that's why they are sending my younger brother to my uncle's house to get married there. So now he had a chance. He could come and say, Mommy, Daddy, I made a mistake. I married the heathen girls, and both of you do not approve. Can I go to my uncle's house? Because uncle had some more daughters. He could have said, I'll go into uncle's house, and he would have married a Leah, and Jacob would have married to Rachel. But he didn't want to go where his brother is going because he had the enmity. He could have gone and say, Uncle, give me one daughter, and he would have been happy, and Isaac and Rebekah might be happy. But they did not tell him to go because they thought he has already two wives. And so they didn't say anything to him. So he thought, my mother and father is not happy having these heathen wives, so I'm going to do something. So what he does, let's read the verse 7.
And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife.
Now here is saying verse 7, Jacob obeyed his father and his mother. So from that you know Jacob is an obedient child. Many scholars say Jacob is a bad person. But from the beginning I'm trying to see, even though his name is a deceiver, but his action is not that bad. Even though from the beginning he didn't want to deceive, his mother encouraged him. And so now he did not run away. My mommy says, go away, your brother is going to kill you. He had the faith. My God is with me. My father blessed me, and that blessing is with me. And so my brother cannot kill me, because brother said something. He said, as soon as my father dies, I'm going to kill him. So Jacob knew my father is not going to die today or tomorrow. And as I told you, we are going to read, Jacob went to his uncle's house. He says right away he obeyed mother and father and he went. How long he was there, we'll be learning. He went there and he liked the girl and he wanted to get married. The father says, you know what? You have to wait 7 years to get this girl. And so he waited and then he gave him a wrong girl. And then he said, oh, I want the girl, Rachel. He said, you have to wait 7 more years. And so 14 years were gone. And now he wanted to come back. He said, well, right now you are just working for me. You don't have any wages. 2 wives, I gave it to you, 2 girls. Now you don't have any money. You're going to go empty-handed. So what happens? You work for me. The point I'm making, he lived there almost 20, 21 years. After that, he comes. His father now is very old. When he was 100 years old, he blessed Jacob and sent him away. But we learn that the Isaac lived 180 years. So just seeing 100 years plus 20 years, that 120 years, Jacob already back, and now he lives 40 more years. So Esau had no chance to kill his brother anyhow. That's the point I'm bringing. Jacob goes, and now he's thinking, now I have daddy and mommy. So I can have mommy's love and daddy's love because now the obstacle is gone. That's the way this Esau is thinking. Now my brother is gone. Nobody's here. My mommy will love me. My daddy will love me. But how can I get their love? Because they hate these girls. And so he says, okay, what I'm going to do, Ishmael is his father's brother. So he's saying, I'm going to go to Ishmael's house and get his daughter. So they might like me. And so he goes and marries Ishmael's daughter. Okay, let's read verse 10.
And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it.
Now, can you imagine? Jacob is running away from his brother. Mother and father gave him permission. Now he's saying, I'm obeying you. I'm going. Now when he's going, sun sets, the night comes, and he has to spend the night in the wilderness. Now, it is a very good chance if the Esau was following him, and this man, Jacob, is tired, and now he's going to sleep somewhere, very easy to go and kill him. Nobody will there. Nobody can do anything. He could have done it. But I think God put a fear in Esau's heart. He did not allow him to go after him and kill him or something. Now he is alone and he is tired and he is sleeping. No bed, no pillow. When you are hungry, you can eat the dry bread and you will be satisfied. And when you are very sleepy, you are not looking for the beautiful bed. You can sleep on the stony ground. When you are sleepy, you don't need a beautiful pillow. You can take a stone under your head and you can sleep. He is tired and weary, and he is not thinking about Esau killing him. Somebody says, somebody is going to kill me. That's the dream they get. This man, Jacob, is not dreaming. His brother is going to kill him. But he is dreaming something good. He is dreaming there is a ladder going to heaven. And he's seeing the angels are coming from heaven and going up and down. And he is seeing that kind of dream. So the point I'm making, If you are a godly person, you will have godly dreams. If you are a filthy person, you will have filthy dreams. Jacob is not worried about brother killing him. He's not worrying, oh, I don't know, my uncle's daughter, how old they might be. Are they right kind of girls for me? Am I going to get those girls? He didn't know anything. But he's thinking about God. And that's why he get the godly dream. Read the verse 13.
And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed.
And Lord is talking to him, and Lord is saying, you know, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and this land you are lying or sleeping or resting, this land I'm going to give it to you and your seed. Father already told him God is going to bless you. God is going to multiply you. God is going to give you the Abraham's, your grandfather's blessing. So he is thinking about those things. My God is going to bless. My father already blessed. I'm going to get the blessing of Abraham. And all of these things he's thinking. So God is saying, this is what you're dreaming about. And so God makes your dream possible. That's why we say, dream, dream on. I mean, dream good dreams. Think about good things. And it will come to pass. Whatever you think. Point I'm making, you dream the dream what God is giving to you. So Isaac told him, Abraham's blessing is coming. Now he's coming and thinking about that. So God appears to him and gives him assurance. And let's read the verse 14.
And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
Can you imagine the blessings? He said, you know, I'm going to bless you like I bless your father. But now the east and the west and the south and the north means all, everywhere you look, all that land is, I'm going to give it to you. And not only that, for you and for your children. And then he says, all the families of the earth, they are going to bless in your seed. Now, he didn't know what God was saying these things. But we know. Go to the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. He did not say to seeds. He said to Abraham or Isaac. But when you say seed, it's not a seed. One seed. Please read.
Now to Abraham it is seed where the promise is made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ.
So only in Christ, whole world and whole earth is going to bless. Not in Abraham's, Abraham's seed was Isaac. What we getting from Isaac's blessing, from we saw he was confused to be blessed his own son. We are not looking the direct blessings from Isaac or direct blessing from Jacob's children. But we are looking for further. Jesus Christ came from the David's family. And when we read in Matthew chapter 1, please read. First verse, it says, when they're giving Jesus Christ genealogy, he says he's the son of David and son of Abraham. Please read.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Now he says son of David and son of Abraham. Who came first? The David came first or Abraham came first? Abraham came first. He's supposed to say the son of Abraham and son of David. But he says different way. He says son of David and son of Abraham. Why? Because Matthew is writing that Jesus Christ is the king. And so he's saying Jesus Christ is the king, but he's coming from the David's family, and actually David is coming from Abraham's family. So how the blessing came, Abraham got Isaac got Jacob, and in When the Jacob's the blessing was given, in thy seed, all the nations or all the families should be blessed. And so that blessing came through Jesus Christ. God gave him blessing and showed him that one of these days, the angels will be, he saw in a dream, coming angels coming from the heaven and going up. Jesus Christ also said these things to one of his disciples. Let's go to the St. John chapter 1, verse 51.
And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Okay, now here we see Jesus Christ is saying to one of his disciples, the day will come and you will be seeing the angels are going up and down. You see, then you know what I'm talking about. Because this Nathanael says, is there anything good is coming from Galilee or Nazareth? He said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. He was trying to tell what Jesus Christ will be crucified, he will be buried, and he will be resurrected, and he'll going to go to heaven. But at that time, these people didn't understand. In Christ's ministry, two times, actually third time I'm going to show you, two times angel ministered to him. One time when he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came and tempted him, and he got victory over him, and then he was very tired, angel came and helped him. And another time, when he was praying in a Gethsemane, and he told his disciples to please pray for me 1 hour, and they didn't pray, they were sleeping, and he was very tired, the blood sweat was coming, and he was almost dying in the Gethsemane, and he prayed and said, Lord, I do not want to die in this Gethsemane. Please save my life. And God did. And there also we read the angel came and ministered to him. But here this prophecy, he says, this prophecy has to be fulfilled. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 10 and 11.
And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Now see what these people are seeing? They said two men. They were not men, they were angels. They came from heaven, and when Jesus Christ went, the two angels stood there and said, Hey, people of Galilee, what are you looking at? The Jesus who went, he will come the same manner. And so this angel were saying these things. So Jesus Christ was saying the angel will be coming and going. So they saw angel also disappear when Jesus went to heaven. So the point I'm making, this Jacob saw this dream. He didn't understand what was saying, but he told his disciple what was this was going to happen. And that dream, Jacob's dream, fulfilled when Jesus Christ went to heaven. And so some of the things are hidden here and there, but as we study in the New Testament, we understand better. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 28, verse 15.
And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of.
Can you imagine this blessing? What God is promising Jacob? He says, I will be with you. Now, wherever you go, I will be with you. And he says, I will bring you back again. And whatever I told you, until that fulfilled, whatever I said it, is going to happen. And so I'm going to protect you. I'm going to supply your needs, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bring you back. And so whatever I said is going to fulfill. Now, once you hear this message, You should not be afraid. Now somebody is saying, you know what? God doesn't talk to me. I never hear the voice of God. I will ask you, do you read the Bible? If you read the Bible every day, the Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God will talk to you. Whatever your needs are, you will have the answer from the Word of God. People are saying, God is not talking to me. I don't listen from God. They go to church and the message comes and they think, oh, somebody's taunting me. This is not for me. God gives you message several ways. You can have a dream. You can have a vision. Somebody can come and tell you about some kind of word of God. Somebody, your friend or somebody can come and say, this is what God was telling me about you. So whatever the way it is, God speaks to you today. But you have to be born again. God will not speak to people who are not tuned to God. So the people say, oh, God didn't talk to me. Yes, God did. But they don't want to listen. God is talking to Jacob and he's listening. My God is going to take care of me. But still sometime, God is giving you direction and things like that, that still you have some doubts. Okay, keep on reading, verse 16. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16.
And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
Now he says, I didn't know that God is here. The word of God says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. God is with you all the time. If you are born again child of God, not only God is with you, but he sends the angels to take care of you. In a book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says, when you are born again, he sends the angels to minister to you. You might have heard in the news, there was an accident. And there was an accident and those two people were trapped. And there was one lady stood there and she said, oh Lord, send the angels, protect these people, do something. And the angel came and rescued these people both. And they saw the hand and light and presence of God. And then the lady said, oh, thank you, Jesus. You send the angels and they were protected. The point I'm making, when you are born again, child of God, the angels are there to protect you. They will guide you. God says, I'm with you all the time. Now he saw these things and he says he was afraid. Actually, he was not afraid, but he was filled with the joy and a respect that God's presence is here. I can see this is the place like a heaven. This is God's dwelling place or something. And I didn't know. So sometimes God has to remind you, I am there, I'm with you. God is with you all the time. Sometimes when the trial comes, people say, oh God, where are you? God is saying, I'm with you in the trials and tribulations and problems you're going through, but you are not alone. He realized. Read the verse 18.
And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil upon the top of it.
When you're having a good dreams, you don't like to get up. You want to close eyes and see, what was that dream? Let that dream come back again. And sometimes you don't want to get up, but he saw the dream. He saw the presence of God. He said, this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This is a good place to stay. But he was getting early in the morning. Got up early in the morning. And then what he's doing, he took the stone which was under his head and he set up as a pillar. And can you imagine, he was carrying the oil with him? He took the oil, anointed that stone and said, this is the house of God. And maybe one day I will build a house here for God or something. And he anointed. So if you go to India, I don't know, maybe they were reading in this Bible. And many, many Indian gods are a stone. They take a stone and they pour oil on the stone and then put a red powder on that stone and they worship. I was thinking, where they got this idea? But this is, they've got it from the Bible. But we see one thing in Bible different, that a people of God, they do not worship stone. They do not worship the prophet. They do not worship the God-given miracles, but they worship the real God. But he just put it as a point of contact. When you buy a new car, what you do? Pastor Peter, please come and anoint my car. And I go and anoint their car. And when they get a house, Pastor Peter, come and bless my house. So I go with the anointing oil and anoint the house. So the demon and evil spirit will go out and you will have peace. So he had oil with him, and so he anointed that stone and reminded. Maybe when you come back and you will not know where the stone was. But if you anoint that stone and put some oil, and when you come back, this stone will be a little bit different than another stone. So you will have the point of contact. This is what the place was. So he poured the oil and maybe put some other stone around and made the pillar. Okay, let's read verse 19.
And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first.
Now see, not only that, he named that place a Bethel. The house of God. God is dwells here. He didn't care what the name was, so he named that place a different name. A God's blessing. Now, wherever he comes, and where are you going? I'm going to Bethel. And so he named it, and now that name changed. And today, they call that place Bethel. Okay, verse 20.
And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God.
Now, see what he is trying to say. God already appeared to him. God already talked to him. God already promised him, I will be with you. I'll take care of you. I'll supply your needs. I will bring you back safe. All of these things. Now he's making a vow to God. Now he is saying, oh Lord, I'm going. If you be with me, you protect me. If you give me food to eat, if you give me a garment to wear, and if you bring me back safe, then you will be my God. Until then, I cannot trust you who talk to me. That's what he's trying to say. I don't trust you. I want some proof. When I come back alive and I got some blessings, what you said is fulfilled, then I know that same God talked to me. Then shall the Lord be my God. Until then, I'm not going to make promise because I don't know. He's even said, I am the God of thy father, Abraham, Isaac. But still he is saying, just like, what is his name? Thomas. I am not going to believe what you people are saying. I want to put my finger in his hand. I want to take my hand and put it inside. Then only I believe. That's the way Jacob is saying. So I saw the angels, but I heard his promises, and he gave me the word. And I'm going on a journey. I even made the point of contact. This stone is my witness. But I'm not going to believe that God until he blesses me. But he was not asking too much. He just said, I need protection, little bit of food to eat, and garment to wear. And he didn't say, make me millionaire. He just asked simple prayer. Go to the 1 Timothy chapter 6. And start reading from verse 6 to 12.
But godliness with contentment is great gain.
The godliness with the contentment is great gain. If you are a godly man, be content. Don't see how other people has and you don't have. You be happy and God will provide. Go ahead.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
We didn't bring anything. We are not taking anything out. So don't try to compare with self with the billionaires. We ought to say, thank God, I'm happy what God has given to me, and I'm satisfied. That's what the Christian life is all about. God is not going to make you beggar. He will supply your needs. Okay, go ahead.
And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
See, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not bad. Money is good. But don't go after money. You go after money, money will destroy you. Go ahead.
But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses.
This is what God wants. Don't go after money, go after God, and then God will supply your needs. And you will have a good testimony. People are going to see, wow, God has blessed this man. If you read in Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, it says, delight in the Lord, and he will give the desires of your heart, and he will make your righteousness like a noonday. That means people are going to see, this person is righteous. This person is blessed. He said, when we are in the Lord, then God blesses us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, what he says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. We don't have to go after the things of the world. You go after God, God will supply the needs. So Jacob is saying, Lord, I'm not asking too much. Like Solomon, what did he say? Lord, I need wisdom. God said, I give you wisdom. And I give you the wealth also. So God gives you riches and wisdom and everything what you need. But we can humble ourselves and say, Lord, I want to delight in you. I want to do your will. People say, okay, I can work one day extra on Sunday and I can make some extra money. Your money will come this way, will go that way. Will a hole in the pocket and hole in the bucket. But if you say, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to listen to the word of God, God will bless you, get the promotion, get the money and everything. Okay. But here the word of God is saying, this man made a promise, I am going to go there by the faith in God, and God will bring me. And if he really does that, then he will be my God. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 to 9. When you read that, some people say, oh Lord, don't give me too much and don't give me too little. So give me enough. But see what? That is not really godly thing. Go ahead.
Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain.
This is some people think, I don't want to be rich and I don't want to be poor. If I'm poor, I'll steal. If I'm rich, maybe I do something wrong. But if you're born again, child of God, God gives you billions of dollars, you are not going to give up the Christian life. You will use your tithes and offerings to win souls. And even though if you don't have a food one day, you're not going to go and steal somebody's food. You're going to pray that day and fast and ask God to do some blessings. The word of God says, even the young lion will go hungry, but my servants will not beg for bread, or his children will not beg for bread. That's the promise. So I trust in God. So now the Jacob is making a vow. And let's read, go back to the Genesis chapter 28, verse 21 and 22. Only two verses are remaining. Please read.
So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God.
Again he says, if I come back in peace, because he's still a little bit worried if my brother comes there and he kills me, or maybe something wrong happened to me, I want peace. I want to come back in peace. Then the God will be my Lord. Okay, let's read verse 22.
And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
Whatever you give it to me, I will give 10%. Where did he learn? Because his grandfather, I don't have time right now, his grandfather gave 10%. His father also was a blessed and he sowed in famine and he got 100-fold in return. So now he's saying, Lord, my grandfather got blessed, my father got blessed, I'm running like a stranger, but you're going to bless me. When I come back, the stone I kept here, that will remind me that this is the way I prayed, and wow, I am going to give my 10% to you. And he promised God, and he says, when God will give me all these blessings, I will give it to the Lord. That's what the word of God is saying in Malachi. He says, try me, prove me, then what I'm going to do. You give it to me and you try. And so when we give the tithes and offerings to God, some people say, oh, people are forcing us to give. No, we are not forcing anybody to give. The word of God says, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You don't want blessings, you don't want money, you don't give tithe. But if you want bless, you give tithe. And so the word of God is saying, prove it to me. You give the tithes and wait upon the Lord. And he said, I'll open the heavenly windows and pour down the blessings. And the 11th verse, he said, I will fight your devourer. That means when you give it to the Lord, then the money comes, the blessings comes, devil will not be able to steal. St. John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So he said, I will fight your devourer when you give it to me. This is what he did, the promise, and the chapter ends there. So let's rise. And let's pray that if Jacob promised God, and we are going to see the blessings of Jacob, so we are going to do the same. When you don't have a job, yesterday somebody called me. And he says, I don't have a job. I said, what are the things you know? And he told me several things he knows. I said, sir, you want a job? He said, yes. I said, I'm not asking you, when you had a job, did you give tithes or not? But let's make a decision. Let's pray and say, Lord, if you give me a job, I will try to give my tithes and offerings to you. I said, God will give you a job. And then when God gives you a job, be faithful. It's so simple. And that's what happens. Many people, they come. Sometimes one person came and didn't have a job. I prayed for him and he got a job. And when he got a job, he puts $2. I don't know, nobody told him, but they were talking about giving to God and he got some guilty. And he said, why should I give more to God? God should be happy when I give him $2. You didn't have a job. You got a job and now you're saying God should be happy with my $2. What happened? He lost the job. Now you don't want to give? No job, no money, you don't have to give. Pastor Peter, please pray for me, I should get a job. I said, okay. He got a job and within 2 weeks, he got a promotion. He was the paycheck didn't come yet. So he comes and says, oh, I got a promotion. My salary is going to be double. I said, oh, that's good. Be faithful. So when he got a paycheck, he goes to bar. And he drank. And when he goes to, and he was so drunk, so he could not go to work that day. He goes to next day. They say, you're fired. So he comes to me, Pastor Peter, I lost my job. I say, hey, you got a promotion. How did he lose it? Oh, I went to bar and I drank. I didn't come to church. I didn't give my tithe. I lost my job. Could you come and talk to my boss? I said, no, sir. The point I'm making, God is faithful. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You saved Jacob's life. You gave him blessings from his father, from the Lord. And still he was doubting. He said, if God blesses me, then he will be my God. And you blessed him. Lord Jesus, give us grace to trust in you, trust in your word, and do your will, and you will come to rescue us in our trials and troubles and our needs. Our God is always there. The word of God says, our God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He always watches over us. So Lord, we are so thankful to you. Bless your people and give us grace to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.